God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Almighty and merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Reading for this morning, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the book of Job, beginning at chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what words bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your day began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear the Lord, you His name. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In Christ.
Thank you.
other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's join confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sing the alternate verses. Yeah. You'll see.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul writes, "But how are they to call on him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." This morning I have on my beautiful feet socks.
Wow.
Yeah. There they are. No, actually when I received them as a gift from this one family from the church in Charlottesville, and it said on it, how beautiful are the feet, you know, and it doesn't say it on the socks, but it said it on the labeling that they were stapled into. But they have crosses going down the side and fish. Yeah. So I had to wear those socks today. I just every time I read this passage now, this first thing comes to my mind, my socks. Of course, that's not what the passage is about. We know that. You know, we've been going with Paul through the letter of Romans for some time now, and listening to his testimony, his witness to the Roman Christians about sin and how sin infects our lives from the deep down in our hearts, that it so permeates our being that we pretty much are hopeless. We have no strength of our own to not do those things we don't want to do. And, of course, St. Paul points to Christ in all of this, because his one question was, well, who will save me from this body of death? And the answer, of course, is Jesus. And in this portion, we hear him talking about how Christ is Lord not just of the Gentiles, but also of the Jews. That at one time, in the old ways, that is the old covenant that God made with his people, the chosen ones, Moses had declared to them, and he writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. There's really no wiggle rooms in the commandments. It's not you shall live by some of them, you shall, or you can pick out the ones you feel that you can do, but it's the whole law of God. The whole counsel of God is found in these commandments for us in our lives. But as Paul pointed out already, we can't do it, therefore we fall short. Our righteousness, you know, falls short. It is nowhere comparable to the righteousness of God. If we were to take like a halogen lamp, and that's pretty bright, right? And you shine that lamp, it still would not be as bright as the sun. The S-U-N, Son. And the Son, the S-O-N, Son of God, is brighter than the sun. And that's because of his glory and his righteousness. There is nothing at all that blemishes that light, that causes it to be dim. For Christ is the life of the world and the light of the world. So there would be a problem, but Paul says there is a new covenant, though, and that covenant is in Christ, and that righteousness we have is a gift from God. That salvation we have comes by grace through faith. Now, St. Paul wants us to understand that because we have nothing to bring before the Lord. Now, some of the words he uses, Jews would have picked up on from Deuteronomy when God, you know, through Moses tells them they're about to enter into this promised land. And for them not to think to themselves that they are special, more special than any other nation, that they are more holy or righteous, and that's why they're getting to enter this land. But they are to remember that they are a stiff-necked, stubborn people. And what they are receiving comes from the mercy of God. Moses would go on to tell them a little bit about their future in this land, that one day they will turn away from God and God will cause them to be removed. But in his mercy, he will bring you back. Now, there's a little bit of that language going on in this part of Romans that Paul is reminding the hearer, especially if they are Jewish, about their hearts and their need for Jesus. And the Gentiles' need is every bit as much the same, because we all sin and are in need of God's mercy. We can't get there ourselves. We can't do it. We have no right to go before God when we pass through this life and say, Lord, let me in. We have no right because there is nothing of our own that we can bring before the Lord. But out of his great mercy and love for us, he sent his Son into this world. And for us, he went to the cross, destroying the power of sin to convict us and leave us without hope. Because Christ took our sins upon himself, and on the cross they were crucified with him. We were crucified with him. Our sins were dealt with. We have died to sin, St. Paul reminds us. And we get a little bit of that too when we hear him. Don't say who will ascend and bring him down, because he's already come. And he came of his own volition. No one made him. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. And he died for us. Don't say to yourself, who will go down then into the pit and bring him back up from the dead? Because the Father has already done that. These, Paul said, is the word of faith that we have in our hearts and we confess with our mouths. This is where our righteousness is from. This is where our salvation is from. No one else. And it is from Christ, because he is none other than the only Son of God, the only one who was able to do the Father's will for us as our substitute and do it without sin. He was the only one able to die for us, because he had to die, because sin demands it, and God's justice demands it, and God's word told the first parent, our first parents, on the day you do this, you will die. So that has been our lot from the beginning. But God sends his Son, he dies for us, and is raised to life. Death had no power over him, and because it has no power over him, it has no power over us. For we have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We have died with him on the cross, and certainly as he was raised from the dead, so we too are raised. This is St. Paul's whole point in all of this, and he comes around to this, well, what about those who haven't heard? And St. Paul says, well, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So unless someone is sent, well, they can't hear. They can't receive this message of salvation. They can't hear it, and they need to hear this message that comes from the Word of Christ. They need to hear it. It's not an option. The church doesn't get to put that away and just say, well, let's just have dinners and other social functions. Let's build a gym so we can offer special things for young people like basketball or maybe even, nobody roller skates anymore, do they? I was going to say, I knew a church in Atlanta that has a roller skate rink. We could do those things, but that's not being the church. St. Paul says we need to send people out with that word. Now, each one of us can carry that word on our lips. We can speak that word of faith that we have in our hearts to anyone around, but we need those who are called, too. We need those who hear that calling from God to go to seminary, perhaps, or go and become a teacher in a Lutheran school. Well, he might not say a Lutheran school, but that's who we make teachers for. We are to grow the church through the teaching of God's Word and through the proclamation of the gospel. It's just that simple. Nothing complicated. It's that simple. It really is simple. When you think about it, Jesus sends the 12 out and tells them, don't take anything with you. How simple is that? Go into a town. Take just your clothes that are on your back, basically, and go. Don't take extra change of clothes, just go. That's pretty simple. You don't have to worry about what you're packing. That can be daunting. Not really. It's that simple. And go and proclaim the good news. It's that simple. But the bad news or the sad news of it all is that not everyone will receive that news with gladness that you and I have in our hearts. We may be left standing there dumbfounded, our mouths open, agape, or we just may be feeling, well, I've done something wrong. And it's not the case at all. It just happens to be that there are those who will reject that word. Maybe they think to themselves, they know better. But our condition is no different than God's chosen people. We are stubborn and stiff-necked people. We don't always want to hear what God has to say. Instead, we want God to do what we would like him to do. Kind of like Job. Well, God had to set him straight, didn't he? He had to remind him who is the creator after all. And where were you, Job, when all of this creation took place, when I set everything into its order? Where were you? I don't recall seeing you, Job. And Job repents upon hearing this word from God. Or take Peter. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus comes walking, we heard the gospel read, and immediately they think it's an apparition, a ghost. And they cry out, it's a ghost! They're trembling, they're scared, they're in a storm. And Jesus speaks to them, it's me, guys, it's all right. Be at peace, don't be afraid. And Peter says, well, you know, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come out to you. Come. And he does. And he thinks, why did you doubt, Peter? Jesus saves him because that's what Jesus came to do. He reaches out and takes Peter and brings him to the safety of the boat. And the story's really not about Peter or his lack of faith. We all tend to at times be bold in our confession, and other times we start doubting perhaps, and we get confused and perhaps worried. But it's not about us either. It's about who Jesus is. He is God. The same one that told Job, who do you think you are? He might have been saying that to Peter too. Who do you think you are? Let me tell you who you are. You're my disciple. I've come to save you, Peter, and all of you, and the whole world. I've come for that purpose. I don't know what you think I've come for, but whatever it is, you ain't got it right. Remember, he had just got done feeding 5,000 plus people. They wanted Jesus to dismiss those people, but Jesus instead, after everybody's eaten, gotten their fill, and the disciples have gathered up the leftovers, he sends them away. Jesus stays to dismiss the crowd and then goes up to pray. Jesus has his plan. He has his schedule, not our schedule of doing things. Sometimes things happen not according to the way we would like, but that's okay because God is in control. And God is with us. And St. Paul makes that so clear in the letter to the Romans, as well as his other letters, I should add. But in this whole argument about, or discourse about sin and how we are helpless to do anything about it, we are powerless, but God sends his Son, and his Son does it for us. And his Son dies for us. More important, Paul would say, he was raised for our justification, so that we can stand before God. And if God says, who are you? I'm one who has been redeemed by your Son, Lord. I am your child. That's who you are. You are all made righteous in Christ by grace through faith. Let us pray for more workers to be sent into the field, because we live in a day that the world needs to hear this good news. And we need people who are willing to carry that good news beyond the places you and I may go. There are still people out in the world who have never even heard the gospel. We think the gospel's gone throughout the world. In one sense, it has. But there are a lot of people who haven't heard it. So we need workers in the field. We need more pastors. We need more church workers. And that kind of prayer we should remember daily, because the need never stops. In fact, sometimes we in the church, those who are workers, those who are pastors, are concerned about the number of people going into the pastoral ministry. It doesn't meet the vacancies that are out there. So we need more pastors. We need more people to go to our seminaries and to learn, so that they too can carry that word and share in that ministry. But each of us always remember our sent into those areas of our lives with that gospel. Let us not be afraid to proclaim it. I think St. Paul would tell us that. And in a way, he does. Here we have the Word of God. It's in our hearts and in our mouths, and it is powerful, because that Word of Christ makes alive. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Give us wisdom that we may trust in your word amid the stormy seas of this mortal life and be safely delivered from all danger unto the eternal shores of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we have no righteousness of our own, but only the righteousness of Christ into which we were clothed in baptism. Grant us grace that we may be faithful in every circumstance and bold in the confession of his saving name. Guard those who preach your word to us, so that hearing we may believe, and believing we may have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord our God, we see the great need and ask you to raise up those who will serve as pastors, teachers, missionaries, and in all church work vocations. Bless church planters and the younger congregations that they may endure. Bring hope and renewal to all struggling congregations and to the pastors who serve them. And do not let fear keep us from your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Lord our God, we ask you to bless us, our nation, and those who lead us. Guide all elected and appointed civil servants in their judgments, that we may know justice in our land and peace among the nations. Make us especially mindful of those who need our special protection, the unborn, the aged, and the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord our God, we pray for your blessing upon the schools where children learn, especially for the schools, universities, and seminaries of our church. Give your blessings to all places where your people gather to teach and learn your word. Help us to remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord our God, we remember the sick, those who suffer, those troubled in mind, the grieving and the dying. Deliver them according to your will and grant them the comfort of your word in their affliction, that they may depend upon your mercy in every circumstance. Hear us especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galadias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Hyman, Sue Daniels, Pat Bias, Jerry Hornstein, Jenny Turner, and Pastor Jonathan Meyer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we do not presume to come to this, your table, trusting in our own merits. Give us faith to discern Christ in his body and blood and repentance, that we may receive for our good his gifts of himself in this blessed communion. We pray this prayer, Lord, for all those who celebrate this holy sacrament this day. What we have received with our lips, help us keep in holy, upright, and godly lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, our God, we give thanks for the saints of old who trusted you in life and now rest in Christ from all their labors. Deliver us from all evil and lead us through all temptation, so that at last we may join them in the marriage supper of the Lamb in your kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, we pray you to be our light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our courage in fear, and our peace in distress. Speak to us by the voice of your word, that we may call upon you in the day of trouble and confess your saving name before all people. Hear us on behalf of ourselves and those for whom we have prayed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing hymn 789. Yeah, he told me he dropped something. He was on the ramp, faced God, and bent down and picked it up and went over.
What? I have a question, and Maxine, maybe you'll answer this. I know we've talked, I know the fundraiser is not going to happen, but has anybody contacted Ben?
No.
I don't see the fundraiser happening, and I know I've talked to Jen about it, told him I thought it was not. But we're a month out, and we might need to go ahead and talk to Ben.
I think we have to vote that we're not going to have it, though, right?
Right, but I mean, we need to do something in the next week or so because we need to let him know something. But I know Jan had started working on it, and then he got weak, so.
I don't even know that you really need to vote on it. You know, if you take a look at what the governor says, he's not going to let you have that kind of stuff in here.
I have a question of if Jeannie does have COVID-19, are we going to have to self-quarantine?
No, we haven't been around.
We haven't been around her for 3 weeks.
Since 3 weeks?
Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Right, but no, she was gone. She was, you know, when she started coming down and stuff, she wasn't here.
Okay. Maybe, it may actually be 4 weeks.
I wasn't sure.
Well, Cheryl,
we're way beyond that.
Huh? Right.
We're way beyond that concern.
Okay.
Statewide. I mean,
okay, thank you.
Because this is recent.
Just checking.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of physical therapy.
And she hasn't been like.
I got 4 weeks of therapy.
Anything else?